My hope is if I can fill my mind with more things that are positive versus negative, if I can talk to myself in more positive ways, tell myself, hey, I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my mistakes. I love myself as I am. Giving myself positive affirmations constantly. My hope is that over time, I'll have less and less of those negative thoughts coming in saying, you can't do this or you shouldn't be doing that. And, I'm still experimenting with that, but so far.
It's cause and effect. More positive inputs, more positive outputs you're going to have. Welcome, Taylor, to the Deeper Than Dope podcast, man. Taylor Weeks, nice to have you, dude.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
So we got connected with the We Are The They through Jimmy Rex. And out of the few months, you were the dude that reached out to me and we met up and I'm super grateful because other than that, I haven't participated, which you were just talking about.
Were you guys in accountability groups?
Okay. Yeah. And that nobody else, I've done anything. I mean, that's definitely on me. It's not on anybody else. But we met up at a Starbucks and then I just asked you for a ride after. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's a homie. He'll give me a ride, maybe.
Oh, totally. I mean, it was right up the street. It was super close. I mean, we connected super well, super fast. And it was cool just hearing about your background and some of our similarities coming from sales and then now being a business owner. So it was, and that's a nice thing, right? When you're networking, you meet a lot of people that some fit who you are and your personality and others, like we connected immediately, which was fantastic.
So give us your background. Just a brief 1 to 2 minutes.
Yeah. So I'm married. I have a couple kids, another one on the way. And I'm currently the vice president of sales with Onset Financial. I try to think of myself as just a connector between companies and capital. So, we really focus on mid-market businesses, but I also try to help earlier stage companies get access to capital whenever I can. And that's really where my passion lies. Outside of that, I do a lot of running, love to exercise. So anything that just helps keep my mind not self-sabotaging myself, let's say. And that's me in a nutshell.
And tell me, we're the they. I mean, it's how would you describe what it is?
It's a men's group. It's interesting.
Very focused on like the mental health space though, right?
Yes, big time. I got into it. I was thinking, okay, this is going to be business coaching. Cause I'm sure same as you. Like I always have different coaches I'm working with cause I'm trying to get better, but it was not that at all. It's definitely doing the inner work and trying to work through, like we were talking about earlier, ego and a lot of the different challenges that I think men have because they don't normally have an outlet. We usually just work and do we have a place to express some of our feelings and some of the challenges going on? Not really. So it was different than what I expected, but it's been a great transformational experience for me.
Yeah. I think it's something very unique that other people aren't, there's all these masterminds and networking, but what Jimmy's doing with the We Are The They is it is like, hey, as men, we can be vulnerable and he's always promoting vulnerability. And anyways, I think that's super cool that what he's doing.
It is. And it's just that. I mean, when you think about mental health too, it's men tend to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
I think we all have at different times. And some women do too. I look at my wife and, she's written an ebook about her mental health journey because she's dealt with heavy, heavy depression and dealt with self-harm and has come back from that and was able to find enough courage to put her ego away and go be a model. And I mean, even right now she's Mrs. Utah, which is awesome and do all these things that, for a long time she said, hey, I can't do this because, if you don't have an outlet to talk through some of these things, some of these lies that we tell ourselves, we really can't stop ourselves from making forward progress from really seeing what we're capable of. It's tough if you don't have friends you can turn to.
Yeah. We're all suffering. We're all going through something different, but the same, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going through the daily ups and downs, but we all don't want to talk about it because what if the person I tell isn't going through that? And then they're going to judge me. It's like, no, that doesn't exist. Everybody's going through it. It's just being able to say, hey, this is my struggle. What's your struggle? How do we support each other? Which I love.
I love that. That's it.
I actually have like a deep question on that. So Recently I'm reading the book, The Surrender Experiment. Mm-hmm. It's actually about, have you read it before?
I've heard of it. I might even have the book, but I have not read it yet. So I'd love to hear more.
It's the premise and where I'm at. I'm not that far, but the premise is like, what happens when we stop listening to the voice inside our head and actually see the world for what it is and unlimited possibilities. So like one of the examples he says is like, oh, I went down to Mexico and I was on this quest to find myself and not know. And he comes across, he's going meditating on a hill and these cowboys come and he thought it was Banderas trying to take advantage of him. He just sat there and meditated. Turns out the cowboys just wanted to give him a ride down the hill. And then the next day he did the same thing and someone knocked on the van that he was sleeping and he thought he was getting arrested. Turned out to be just a little kid that wanted to give him milk. And it was like, when you can turn that voice off in the side of your head, so many possibilities open up. And so I'm curious if you've been able to see what that voice inside your head is and be able to see if it's how it's talking to you.
For sure. For sure. So something I try to remind myself of all the time is stop listening and start talking to yourself. Right. So I try to not just listen to what that voice has to say, because a lot of times I find it's logic trying to talk myself out of following my intuition. Mm. Our intuition knows what we need. I think our intuition pulls us towards our purpose in a lot of times. Yep. And this, Jimmy calls it the drunk monkey, this voice in your head. And I appreciate that because
the drunk monkey?
The drunk monkey. He's like, just when you hear this stupid stuff going on in your head, imagine it's a drunk monkey sitting on your shoulder. and that way you don't have to pay as much attention to it. But I find so many times that it really is, because me, I'm a fairly analytical person. So a little bit of the woo-woo, the intuition of like, why do I want to this, or why am I being pulled towards these things when it may not make sense at that time? So logically, I try to say, oh, well, it doesn't make sense for this reason, or that doesn't fit you for XYZ. So stupid, right? It's just shut up, right? Let me go follow these things that I'm being pulled towards, and let's see what happens. So I don't know. I was watching, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, Yes Man, by Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yeah.
Oh, it's funny. I just thought, why not just start saying yes to stuff, man? Stop overthinking. Stop saying no because of X, Y, Z. Just say yes and see what happens. And it's been pretty cool. But meditation has helped a lot with that voice, right? Just being able to hear the voice without having to react is one. And you were talking about meditation in that book. Do you do any meditation yourself?
I do. I do a lot of it.
A lot of it.
It's the only way to calm the mind. I mean, when you have to show up and go from emotional states, like meditation is one way to just center yourself. I think it's the best thing a human can do.
I think you're probably right, man. I think you're probably right. I mean, I have crazy ADD and I could not sleep for sometimes days at a time. So meditation is what would, I sleep like a baby now because I can just focus on my breathing. I'm out. So I'm with you. I think it's a skill everybody should learn at some point.
When I was in a group of very highly successful guys and one of them was like, I have to turn on very deep sci-fi novels just to go to bed and turn my mind off. It's like, guys, if we just took a second and sat with ourselves and knew how to be there, turn your mind off, you know how you could go back and forth between conversations faster and think more clearly? It's like this superpower that most people don't understand.
That's interesting.
It is. And when you guys are talking meditation, is it breath, just focusing on your breathing, or are you focusing on thoughts and observations?
I can't get my two. You go first.
You know, you sound like you have more experience with meditation. So go ahead and I'll give you my 2 cents after.
So there's a couple, like one, there's breath that will calm the body and the nervous system to allow your mind to go deeper. Then there's also meditations as far as grounding meditation. So sometimes when you're in a highly elevated state, and I learned this from a lot of shamans, some of the friends that we've worked with, but being able to imagine different things, being in nature, being into a 5 senses reality to then connect to those happy places. So whether it's you're trying to get out of a certain emotion or into a certain emotion. So like one of the things that I'll do if I need to be in a place of creativity is I will go to one of my favorite places that I've been on a vacation or a hike. It's actually in Hawaii and under a waterfall. And imagine that I'm there. I'll do that for 5 to 10 minutes. Imagine what I could see, smell, taste, everything in that moment. And it grounds your mind into a spot where that you can go deeper into a creation state. Another way you can meditate is imagining things that you're grateful for. Actually, Tony Robbins does a lot of this, of like going into memories and allowing those emotions of gratitude to come in. And when you're a place of gratitude, you can't have fear at the same time. Hmm. And so if you don't have fear, there's nothing holding you back. And so those are a couple of little meditations that you can do to get to a better place of being.
That, man, I'm learning already.
There's so many different ways. That's so what I'm just ways. Curious.
Yeah.
But I have, anyways, after you go, I want to
So, for me, breath is the easiest for me because my mind is going a million miles an hour. So I want to shut off my mind, and the other is just to observe thoughts as they come. So it kind of depends on what my intention is as far as the meditation. For me, the consistency is the biggest key. It's just, even if it's just 5 minutes or while I'm in the sauna or whatever, just doing it every day. Wait, what about you, Benton?
Well, I listen to...
Bennett. Excuse me, I'm sorry, trying to say two words at once.
I listen to a Netflix show. It's like maybe 45 minutes called The Amazing Story of Henry Sugar.
Oh, that just came out.
Yeah, it just came out. I just watched it. It's really good. So they
very
talk
weird.
About...
Very weird.
Very, very weird. Yeah, it's like them. The actors are telling the story. So it's like, and I said, that's it. Anyways, kind of funny. But the whole premise, like it gets deep into meditation and training your mind. And he's talking about, you know, the rich guys, and he's doing it so he can learn how to gamble better. But, and he's like, how to focus your mind. And he said, anybody do it. Like, think of your phone, close your eyes, picture your phone, and count how many seconds till you can't picture it anymore. And a thought obstructs that. And it's like less than 5 seconds for the average person. Like, you can't even focus on anything for more than 5 seconds. And that's where it's... His goal in this movie was it takes you about 10 years, and this is a fictional movie, right? Mm-hmm. But it'll take you 10 years to be able to focus on one object for 3.5 minutes on average.
Wow.
Anyways, who knows the validity of it, but it was kind of, anyways, that is something that now I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that in my meditation. I'm going to look at one object. And I picked a yellow ball. And it's so hard to just focus on a yellow ball and nothing else.
Interesting.
But you also mentioned recognizing the drunk monkey voice for being the drunk monkey voice, which is another meditation that I do with the guy, Sam Harris.
Okay.
And it's just observe your thoughts as thoughts. It's just a river flowing. And in fact, you are in the river. There's not even a river bank, but it's just thoughts come and they go and you have no control over what your mind thinks. You have no idea how long that thought's going to be there or when it's going, but you can observe when it arises and the moment that it leaves, which is, you know, just a different way of meditating because I think the kind of more entry way of meditating is the breath. Mm-hmm. Let me occupy my mind with something, with the breath. Where the more advanced, in his opinion at least, is, well, I can meditate when I'm hiking because meditation is just being aware of what's happening, including my thoughts, and recognizing a thought for a thought, which is kind of fun.
You know, I guess that's a good point, and I haven't really thought about it that way, but I'm sure we've all experienced this. You're getting a hike, and you're so in the moment. You can feel the wind on your skin, and you know, you can almost taste the dew, and just the colors seem so bright and vibrant. And maybe that is a form of meditation in and of itself. So that's super interesting. But, you know, I think to what you're saying as well, of just being able to focus on one thing, what an important skill set when we are constantly, you think about social media, and one of the important pieces of social media, if you want to keep people's attention, is having something change every few seconds, whether it's a color or an image, because our attention spans are so short. So if instead you can train yourself to extend that attention span to be able to focus on something for longer, the results that you'll be able to get, the efficiency and effectiveness. I mean, and that's, gosh, all of a sudden you're buying back your time instead of trying to do five things at once. You can be really good at getting things done quickly and move on. So that's actually really cool. I'm gonna try the focusing on a yellow ball or something.
Focus on one thing. I mean, you think about the amounts of input. Like right now, if we stopped, like how many things the senses that we have are actually perceiving. Like, I don't know what I'm smelling, but if I focus on it, there is something there.
Sure.
You know, and I can, now I'm feeling, like when you said the wind and the hike, like, oh, I can actually feel a breeze from the AC up here, you know? Mm-hmm. And like what we experience and what we are present is like, I mean, it's gotta be a fraction of a percent, right? Like how many cars have you seen today?
Oh my gosh.
Hundreds. And how many can you identify? Less than 1%, you know? And how many faces have you seen today? And how many can you remember? Less than 1%. Like, and it's just trying to, I guess, realize and aim that focus. There's just so much going on. So what do you focus on? And then we all have ADHD.
Totally. Totally. I mean, you mentioned Tony Robbins earlier, but so, I mean, I know you've heard him talk about the reticular activating system where
yeah.
you process so many things, but your brain only allows you to see or focus on so many. And that's really interesting what you're saying, because maybe you could train your mind to be able to hold on or notice more of the things that you want to see just by saying, hey, I'm going to focus my attention on these certain things as I meditate so I can see more of those as I go about my day. That's pretty interesting, actually.
So it's, yeah, you're competing with your own mind for attention. Like the one thing that is taking you out of presence are your own thoughts.
Sure.
So if you could break yourself out and see, oh, that's just a thought, but I'm still present. And then again, this is kind of the Sam Harris guy's meditation, which I follow. Mm-hmm. And then it's by default, that'll only last for a few seconds. True. At any given time. But can you keep doing that throughout the day? 5 times a day, 10 times a day, 20 times a day. And that's when you become like a, you know, I'm distracted by everything. I have no idea what, you know, I'm never present and I'm always thinking in the future, focusing on the past to being a yoga master, you know, that they are able to just kind of clear their mind, or not even so much clear their mind, but recognize a thought for a thought and realize they're not identifying with that thought. You are not your thoughts.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just something that comes and it goes.
I mean, what a great mantra as well. You're not your thoughts, and they're not right. They're not wrong. And sometimes I think it's easy to look at these thoughts coming through our head and say, okay, well, that must be truth since it's coming. Where is this? Where are these thoughts coming from? Where are they coming through you? And just a thought. Let it flow through you. No big deal.
And here's a kicker to that. You are your thoughts if you let your thoughts control you. So be careful what thoughts you have.
Well, but you can't control your thoughts, so.
I'm trying to remember what the quote is, because it talks about, hey, control your thoughts because your thoughts becomes your actions become your results, and your results.
We're going to get into free will here in a second, but
it's going to become a deep conversation. I don't know if I have the enough glucose in my system to go that deep.
I was telling my wife that. I was like, should have brought some sugar with me.
Seriously.
This is
some cookies over in here, Keith?
A 5-second activity. You stop. And you pause and you see if you know what you're going to think before you think it. And the answer is no. And therefore, you cannot control your thoughts. Because if you can't foresee what's going to come to your mind, how are you controlling it? And then you kind of have the tendency to say, well, I have the choice to dwell on it or not to dwell on it. Well, that's just another thought. Dwelling on a thought is just that same thought arising again and again. But again, you can't control that. You don't control your neurons. You don't control your thoughts.
True.
So where that comes from is not choosing to dwell on your thoughts. Is if you are dwelling on a thought, because that's biology or neuroscience, whatever, having grace and compassion for yourself, realizing that you aren't your thoughts, just know that that's an experience happening.
That's a good point.
It's a little weird way of thinking, but.
And I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I try to, I do a lot of weird things to try and just change that conversation that I'm having anyway. So I'm constantly trying to feed my, just like you guys, personal development, right? Reading books, YouTube videos, podcasts, things that are going to fill my mind with positive things. So my hope is if I can fill my mind with more things that are positive versus negative, if I can talk to myself in more positive ways, tell myself, hey, I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my mistakes. I love myself as I am. You know, giving myself positive affirmations constantly. My hope is that over time, I'll have less and less of those negative thoughts coming in saying, you can't do this or you shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, I'm still experimenting with that, but so far.
It's cause and effect. More positive inputs, more positive outputs you're going to have.
And as I've noticed it, it seems a lot easier to. Because I think we all go through these moods that are up and down, right? You have times you feel on top of the world, you have times that you don't. And just trying to stabilize that a lot more, so it's maybe it's a little smaller versus these huge ups and downs that that I've found that I've experienced over my life. So just that. Yeah,
More positive inputs, and then recognizing, but it goes both ways as well. If you're kind of like, oh, I need to have grace for the negative thoughts because they just came, right? Yep. But also it strips you a lot of the pride and the look at me, I'm so good, you know? Either way, it's getting, you mentioned before the show, we were talking about the ego, so I'll bring kind of that up.
Yeah.
About something that I went to and the a 3-day transformation, I don't know. And it was all about returning to be a nobody. Because when you're a somebody, when you're Bennett, you're XYZ and you have this life and these beliefs, and this is your do's and your don'ts. But going back to nobody, which I think resonates a lot with what you said with the trust your intuition, like don't trust the monkey brain. Just go with whatever, become that nobody that's just curious, playful, like that child, that nobody of the child. But and then we just get right back into our ego again. And this is who I am and this is who I'm not, rather than just going through life and going through experience.
100%. Unfortunately, I think it's kind of the framework, right? Because we're going from thing to thing. And there's a lot of people that I think feed our ego. They say, mm-hmm. Oh, man, you're awesome. And this, right? It's hard not to let that get to you. Oh, you know what? I am pretty awesome.
You're right? Dressing nice. That was the first thing I said. I was like, damn, this guy's handsome.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Well, you know, hey, I try to control the controllables. I can control how I dress on a daily basis, right? I can't control all the outcomes, but hey, if I can control the things for me that make me feel good, I'm like, okay, I'll probably have a better day.
Yep.
And but 100%, right? That ego, it's so easy to inflate it, and then us continue to blow that out of perspective, so that we're no longer humble. But I think humility is such an important key to success in life, because success is not linear, right? Sometimes you do have to take a step back. Sometimes it could be this rocket ship that does come back down to earth. And I had a mentor that said, hey, on your way up, make sure you're nice to people along the way, because you never know who you'll meet on the way back down.
Yes,
so,
I like that.
Yeah, so I just think humility, man, is such an important trait to have, no matter what you're doing, right? I think it helps us continue to respect ourselves as well, so that if our ego is too big, and then because we all inevitably fail at something,
yep,
right? We don't have to beat ourselves up so heavily when those days come, because that's just part of life, right? Failures are not a bad thing, but I think if our ego is too big, we can look at those failures and blow them up to be a lot bigger than they should be, rather than a learning lesson. It's an attack on who we see, how we see ourselves.
Right. Yeah. So you're talking about the rocket on the way up. I like that. Yep. To success. Mm-hmm. What is that though? What is, when you're saying the rocket on your way up to success, what does that mean for you?
I mean, I think it's different for everybody, right? But a lot of times you do all this work, and I feel like I'll just think about this as a hockey stick curve, right? You do a lot of the work, and at some point that work pays off and the success comes quickly.
Yeah, the overnight success that took you 10 years.
100%. And so all of a sudden we go, man, I am something. But the reality is, right, maybe that continues, maybe but at some point you have to go back to work, you have to go back to the grind, doing the things that made you successful. I don't think anybody stays on this rocket ship for the rest of their life. Maybe they do. Maybe I just haven't met them. But, you know, I think in a lot of cases it's easy to forget, hey, this is all the work that I put in to get there. And to do this again, it's going to require the same or more level of intensity to get on the next level of that rocket ship, right? Does that make sense?
I've been getting into like Buddhist teachings.
Okay, love it.
And it's all the yin and the yang. And I don't know if I still understand it, but like you, at whatever point you are in life, every time you feel joy, you have to feel an equal of the opposite.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And we all kind of know there's not misery without joy and type of thing. Mm-hmm. Meaning, no, there, with that belief, which I do think that that's accurate in my experience. Yeah. There's no just going up in a hockey stick. Because every time you're going up, you have to have some other force that's the opposite. And you just have to realize kind of that balance. And then in the Buddhist teaching, how I understand it is then realizing that it's not good and bad, and they're not balancing each other out. It's just an experience. Mm. And that's it. It's just experience. There's no good and bad.
I love that too. Because labels are labels change the way that you feel about a situation in such a big way. Yeah. Oh, this was a great experience. This was a bad experience. We will remember it. We'll think about it in such a the emotions we attach to those labels. That's the word I'm looking for. And so, yeah, I mean, business life, the ebbs and flows, they always inevitably come, right? So over the aggregate, you might look back over 10 years and say, yeah, the hockey stick was there, but you're going to go through a lot of ups and downs in that process. But I love that I've gotten some into Buddhist teachings. My brother and my mom are really into Taoism. And So like guys like Bruce Lee are very interesting to me as they talk about yin and yang, a lot of those teachings, because I think there is really something to looking at the balance of life, right? And thinking, okay, there's always going to be the reverse, the converse side of the coin here, and not just looking at, oh, this was a great experience, this was a terrible experience, I love it, this is just an experience passing through, right? Take what you can from it, move on. And, you know, also having the discipline, which I think they do very well, to go and do the same things again and again. And Bruce Lee has this quote that I think about time and time again. I do not fear the man who has tried 10,000 kicks once. I fear the man who has tried one kick 10,000 times. And so, you know, thinking about just having that discipline to come back and do the same thing again and again with their habits, with their meditation and everything else, and what you're able to accomplish as a result of it.
Yeah. Did you go to that Limitless?
I did.
Thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was great.
So I didn't really listen to any of them, but this is going to be complete opposite of everything that we learned at that thing.
Yeah.
Because it was going back to the I don't even know the difference between Buddhist or whatever. I'm just like watching YouTube videos, bro.
That's so what I'm saying.
I'm going to butcher all this. But one dude, I'm listening. No. This is a cool concept, I think. Desire is the root of all suffering. So in that event, it's all about you have to desire more and push harder and wake up and this and that. This other philosophy is the complete opposite. It's every time you want more, that means you're admitting that you don't have enough. Hmm. You want a new car because you don't have the car that you want. You want to move. You want a new job. You want a new whatever. It's you're at that point that you have a desire. You're telling yourself that you're lacking something. Mm-hmm. So then it's not about driving more, working harder to get more. It's just being content with whatever you have. And that's where you're like, oh, these Buddhist people that are, you know, who knows if they're happy or not, but they're supposed to be. And they don't need any material possessions. So rather than learning to work harder to have more, to then have enjoyment from material things, it's, no, let me just learn how to be content with where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Whatever come what may, whether I'm freaking in a little robe with no material attachments in the freaking winter. Yeah. It's like, how, but they do it. Like they are mind over, there's a lot of people that are mind over body and they don't let cold bother them. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you've done a lot of the cold in it and you start to adapt. I mean, I've done cold showers for 6 years and I do them every day just because, I mean, there's some days I don't, but it's funny how your mind still, it just craves comfort. But I've been wanting to actually, so they've got a Buddhist temple in Germany that you can go to and you can go chill for the summer. You can go chill for a week. Uh-huh. And I'd love to go over there with them. But I mean, they still work incredibly hard. They wake up, they train and then they eat and then they clean and they're working all day long. Right. And so they're still filling their day with positive things. So I love what you're saying about, hey, why do we, if what you have today is not enough, nothing will ever fill that void and be enough. I agree with that completely, right? If you're not happy with the car you have, going and getting a new car, at some point, the shininess will wear off and then you'll want another one. And at that point, we're not living in abundance, we're living in lack. But I think when you can live in abundance and give back and say, okay, I have more than enough. And I mean, you guys just did this the other day with the $100 tip club, or dinner club, giving a $100 tip, everyone that went to dinner, giving a $100 tip to the waiter, you know, it's such a great way to, you know, give back to others. And I think when you're living in abundance and saying, okay, how can I share? How can I serve? How can I give back? The universe rewards you. And, you know, I don't think you do that with a sense of, okay, I need something in return, but just as, hey, we're blessed. We live a great life. I mean, you just got back from Africa, right? You got to see, I'm sure, a very different way of living compared to how lucky we all are just living in America, just being born here.
Yeah. No, yeah, very different. The Germany Buddhist thing, by the way, it was Jen Gardner. She went to Idaho at some Buddhist temple for 10 days. You can't say a word for 10 days.
Okay.
Wow.
That'd be intense.
Free. It's free. You just have to go. So they wake you up with a gong at like 4 a.m. and then you just meditate.
And she did this?
Yes, she did it. She's crazy.
So
I'm like, Jen, I respect you so much because you're so like,
wow.
You have to sit cross-legged the entire time. And then at 6 o'clock, they instruct you that you can, I think it's like the first 30 minutes of every day, there's instructions. Mm. And then after that, you only hear a voice twice, and it's to tell you to go get lunch and breakfast, and that's it. And you're eating like oatmeal and dates. You do that for 10 days, no dinner. And you have to sit cross-legged. Sure. And she goes, like, within the first few minutes, your aches and pains, and then hours, and then days, and that's all you focus on, but you're supposed to be focusing on these other. And she's like, after like day seven, it dissipates, and you learn to focus that you're not focusing on the. I was like, dude, there's no way I could sit cross-legged for an hour. Have you seen these hips, man?
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, you could go do that in Idaho. That sounds absolutely miserable, but man, that would be a good accomplishment.
Wow.
I mean, could ever do that.
The silent retreats are interesting. I see. And for me, I thought about the Buddhist temple because you actually go, you train Kung Fu with them. And so you get a chance to actually learn.
Okay, that's way different than
this one. Yeah. So they'll let you be a part of the teachings. And so I was like, okay, I could do that.
I'll do that one with you, Taylor.
Yes. But the silent retreat, 10 days, man.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about, again, I mean, try 10 seconds. Try to imagine a yellow ball for 10 seconds. Oh. No other thoughts come in your mind. You can't do it.
I'm sure that I can, especially.
So anyways,
when
you go to Germany,
the red
man,
button came on it like Ronald McDonald.
Look at this.
When you go to Germany.
Let's go, man.
Let's go.
I mean, summertime. So I was actually wanting to go next year, but I'll have a baby here in March. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Way better. So yeah. It'll have to be the year after. I just got to not have more kids for a minute.
Priorities. You just got brownie points if your wife ever listened to this. So.
Voila.
Okay. This is, we've been getting into some good mental health stuff, but usually not our normal line of questioning, which is totally fine. It's been great. It's been absolutely great. But I want to jump into a little bit about your experience. So one, have you gone through any mental health struggle that you want to share and what you did specific, like actionable items to help you get out of that? Right.
Yeah. So me and my wife, we talk about this all the time because that's a big part of her platform. And you know, I think a big thing that brought us together is just mental health challenges. And so for me, I lean more on the ADD side, but I find myself going through these waves of being really high, a lot of energy, can accomplish a lot of things, which is fantastic. But also on the flip side of that, like you're talking about, the other side of the coin is those deep depressions that can come through it as well. And so dealt with that my entire life. And, you know, some of those were self-induced by just, you know, turning to things like alcohol. I don't drink very often just because it is a depressant. I do notice how much it affects my mood, affects me as a person, my attitude towards others even. And that's something that is a big change that I made in the last few years. But the way that I stopped, really got away from alcohol, because it was something that I was heavily dependent on, was running and the gym, just making that an integral part of my life. I find that if I'm not one week without the gym, one week, I suddenly notice my mind is so much heavier. So it really is not a friend of mine any longer. It's fighting me every step of the way. So exercise is such a big part of it. And so we always think about just things are going to inevitably happen. Like you talk about Limitless. Jesse Lee was one of our close friends, and it was a very tough week, right? Having her not there, and then that tribute, which was so great that Dan did it, but it just such a great reminder that she's gone for real. And so it's easy to slip back into some of these bad coping habits, right? Oh, well, you know, for some people, it might be not wanting to get out of bed. For others, it might be turning to, you know, drugs or alcohol, or just these negative coping habits. And so how can we instead put together positive coping skills? And gym is such a huge one, right? I think being able to talk through things as well, having people that you can open up to about, hey, I'm struggling about XYZ, or I'm thinking these thoughts. And so very lucky that I have a very open and transparent relationship with my wife that allows us to really just be open and honest when we're not, instead of, and we didn't always have that, right? Sometimes we're having a bad day and it turns into a fight because you don't know how to communicate it. But by just starting to open up and say, okay, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm going through, suddenly people can be there for you and they can support you along the way, because life happens. I think mental health is, and unfortunately in the social media world, we are constantly in a battle to
be the best.
Yeah, and
to look
and,
like we're perfect.
Oh my gosh, and so we're constantly judging ourselves. I think in a lot of cases to say, well, I don't stack up to them when, you know, a lot of that stuff isn't even real. So, for me, the gym, I would say, number one, enough sleep. Number two, the gym. Amen.
So I saw probably just today, I don't know, some doctor, James something that I follow, and he said the top excuses for not working out, and it was lack of sleep, kids, stress, work. The number, the best reasons to go to the gym, because you have lack of sleep, to get better sleep, because stress from kids, stress from business, you know, and it's like, and you see, it's just that downward spiral.
Yes.
You know, and it's the reasons why we don't go to the gym are the reason, and I shouldn't say gym, but just physical activity, even if it's just a walk.
Literally.
Just walking, forward movement are the reasons why we don't. Last week, I was in Pennsylvania, and I don't like going to the gym by myself. So I have a trainer, and he's my also part-time therapist, and he's freaking awesome.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I just fell off the whole, you know, for the few days, because I'm like, I'm not hitting the gym. And then one of the guys I was at the conference with, he's like, hey, the flight doesn't leave for an hour. There's a gym in front. Do you want to go? I'm like, absolutely. And it just like changed the whole day. So much difference just to get out there and just like move a little bit.
Oh, well, it does. And you think about everything it does for your brain, right? I'll try and use the right, I'll probably mess these up. So I think it's the norepinephrine. The norepinephrine, they turn into endorphins later on, and they come from doing hard things. That's why when you go into the sauna and you're in the sauna for 20 minutes or more, it sucks, but afterwards you leave and you feel phenomenal, or you go and get a crazy hard workout in, and then afterwards you get this kick, a boost of endorphins. It's because you're doing these hard things that, I believe it's called dynorphins, that in your brain convert into endorphins once you're done, and it only comes from putting yourself in situations. Yes, you have to go suffer. You have to go hurt a little bit. And so, cold plunge, that's why I continue to do a lot of these, the cold showers. One is for the mental aspect. If I tell myself to go do something, I don't want to sit and go back and forth for 15 minutes on, maybe not, go do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I don't think any of us like getting in a cold plunge or a cold shower, but if I can just say, do it and go do it, that's huge. But you know, the mental aspect, I mean, it's been shown to help with depression. It's been shown to help with so many mental disorders. And so you look at these things that are uncomfortable, but that actually do so much from a mental health standpoint. And so for me, exactly like you're saying, putting them just a part of your daily schedule. I'm huge on schedules, scheduling time for those things, making a part of my daily routine each and every day is night and day difference.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, I start craving the cold.
Yes.
Because I know now what it's going to make me feel like after. When before I was like, oh, I'm going to get in some freaking 35-degree water? No way. The same thing with cold showers. I'm like, oh, it just feels like I can have caffeine or I could jump in the shower.
Yes.
And it wakes you up more.
I'll but my body props, starts though. Cold showers are way harder than cold ice baths. I have an ice bath. I hate cold showers. Like just knowing that you're going to turn that faucet, like I can do ice baths all day long.
That's funny.
So. Man, that was my problem for a long time too. I'd stand in the shower, and I'd think about it for 5 minutes. Like, do I want to do this? Like, it's gonna be so cold. So I found it was easier for me if I just turn it on and get in. So versus turning it on and you get that shock.
Yeah.
But or else if you just want to create the habit, turn the water to the temperature you're gonna want it to be, and it'll be cold for a minute or whatever, and then it'll get warm. So. Yeah. Again, you're just training your mind, hey, I'm choosing to do this. Like, I get the benefits. I know what I'm going to get as a result, and I'm making the choice to do this. So versus feeling like you're forced to go do X, Y, Z.
Well, a big part, and I've heard Andrew Huberman talk about, a big part of the benefit of a cold shower or an ice bath is telling yourself you're going to do it and then doing it.
Yes.
So just a little micro goal, right, of I'm going to do a cold shower every day, and then you check it off like, oh, I did it.
Boom.
And then obviously there's the endorphins and the actual physiology of the cold itself. But he even said, if you can take a task as simple as making coffee, but now you make it a goal. Mm. My goal is to make coffee. And then you complete that and you get a little endorphin and you want to get three of those before noon. You want to achieve three goals before noon, whether working out, making coffee, taking a cold shower or just taking a shower, but you turn it into an actual goal, and there's mental benefits to it towards
it. Well, you're creating momentum, right? Because you're stacking wins at that point. So, you know, I think that's huge, right? Why do people who write out their why are people who write out their goals more likely to actually accomplish them than those who don't? You know what you're actually chasing, right? So if you set goals, I mean, I think that's huge for anything, right? So mental health, I don't know about for you guys, but when I'm struggling, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
That's the reality. It's like, I got a million things to do. I let it back up. Then I get even more down on myself and I want to do nothing, right? So it's this terrible feedback loop. So instead, right, if you go, okay, well, let's just do this thing. Did that. Can we just do this next thing? That momentum, it's crazy how stacking those wins, you start to feel so much better so quickly. Because, you know, I don't know exactly what the science is behind why momentum is such a force of nature when you're trying to change anything within yourself. But you get through one day of that and you're like, okay, let's just do this again, starting with just this one thing. Okay, can I get these next couple goals here before noon, like you're saying? It is amazing for me that, and that's why I just schedule it every day. And I give myself, I keep a little habit tracker so I get a chance to, oh, hey, I did my cold shower. Yeah. Hey, I meditated for 5 minutes. Okay, boom. And you get that little reward. You get, and that's still a little dopamine hit. I mean, our brains are wired to. Well,
the science says, again, what Andrew Huberman, and he's basically God to me.
He's incredible. I love that dude.
It's there. The science backs it. You do a daily task that you're already going to do, and you put it in an app or a track or whatever, and you get more joy, more fulfillment, and more momentum from it. So,
100%.
Taylor, go ahead.
Oh no,
I was jumping to the last question, man, because we've been going at it for a little bit. If you're ready for it, unless you had something else to go for,
go ahead. I'm ready.
You're ready.
What do you want to be remembered by?
Wow, that is a great question. That is a great question. You know, I have been thinking a lot about legacy, and my hope is that at the end of my life, I'll be remembered as someone who made a positive impact in others' lives, you know, was a good person, you know, took care of my family and did impact others in a positive way. And so, you know, when you think about this whole idea of mental health, I guess a final thought to leave with you guys is we get addicted to some of these feelings like suffering. You know, we may find ourselves, I found a lot of that myself where I was just addicted to suffering, constantly being in this state of regret, constantly being in all these negative states where it was keeping me from being able to be my best self and help others along the way. So, you know, when it comes to mental health, I think I just want to constantly remind people that you don't have to continue to sit in that state. You don't have to continue to be addicted to these things that are holding you back from being your best self. And, you know, if I can help along the way, hey, I'd love to.
Okay, that was my second last question. So usually when we ask that question, it's like, oh shit, that's a tough question. And you're kind of like, oh, that's a good question. I've been thinking about it recently. Here's my answer. And it was just flowed. What caused you to be thinking about it recently?
Jesse Lee passing away.
Really?
Oh my gosh. This gal who, I mean, she just had accomplished so many amazing things, speaking on all these incredible stages, such a successful person that looked like she had beat her cancer, and then gets a call. I mean, literally got a call from the doctor saying, hey, looks like you're good. You're in remission. And then within a couple of days goes, hey, actually, you've got 48 hours to live. And so for me,
she did get that call.
Oh yeah. My gosh, man. After being told that she had beat it.
I mean, this was within the same week, right?
Yes.
You beat cancer and then you have 2 days to live.
And so it's just, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, man, it doesn't matter. Nothing that you accomplish is going to keep you here on earth. And so you, with this limited amount of time, how can you make sure that you leave a legacy? Because with her, I look at how many people she impacted in such a phenomenal way, including myself and my wife. And, you know, she did that in a lot of ways by loving, you know, truly, she would tell people all the time, I love you. And people that you look at her and go, wow, thank you. And just try to bring out the best out of each and every one of those people. I'm like, man, what a great way to live your life and then to be remembered. So for me, I'm like, I'm taking that as inspiration to try to do a lot about myself.
I love that.
Awesome, Taylor. Thanks for jumping on. How can our listeners connect with you?
So I am on LinkedIn, Taylor Weeks, and then you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, wealthy.weeks, and I talk a lot about business and different sales tactics, since that's my background. So,
okay. Thanks, Taylor.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.